With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC. When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Tuesday, April 9th, and we are here trying to help you make better financial decisions. Doesn't have to be the best. Better is fine. Really, we don't need to optimize. This whole idea of optimizing your life, I just don't get it. Just throw out these four-hour work week books. And frankly, after having our conversation with Cal Newport about productivity, it's all baloney. We don't even know how to measure productivity when you're a knowledge worker. So, you know, yeah, if you make a widget, sure. If you think, not so much. I mean, I guess, Mark, we could say productivity is how many shows we put out a week, but then it would be, who cares? What if they're lousy shows, you know? So just don't put the pressure on yourself. And we are here to relieve pressure or anxiety if you're feeling it. So if something's going on in your life and it is at all related to money, go to our website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button. Let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air live. You just check the box. Mark does everything else. While you're on the website, we've got all sorts of stuff that lives there. We've got our free weekly newsletter. And of course, we also have a way for you to spend a few bucks. You can buy my book, The Great Money Reset. This is really a way to try to identify a change in your life that is a smooth one, that doesn't really put your savings, your investments at risk. So check it out, The Great Money Reset, available in paperback. And also our service, Jill on Money Live, where you have access to quarterly live webinars for a year, bonus video content. And when you join now, you can go back and look in our catalog. So you can check that out. All right, let's do some emails. This is from S, and S's subject is, can we buy a second house right now for cash? All right, S says, my husband and I had been in disagreement about purchasing a second home with cash or a very small mortgage. Okay, here are the ideas and the stats. We are going to be leaving our primary residence within 5 to 6 years or sooner if conditions are favorable. The estimate for our home, according to Zillow, about $710,000 to $715,000. We owe $194,000. The interest rate is 3.75%. They're both 61. They're going to retire in 8 or 9 years. Possibility of part-time work in maybe past 70. Not sure about the income. Maybe 50 or 60 grand. No pension, no annuity, no rental property, no big assets, a few coins. Husband's income, 150 to 170,000 minus 20. We have to pay for our own health insurance. It's our largest monthly bill. Okay, what do they got in savings? All right, S has a Roth IRA with 242,000, traditional IRA 212,000, brokerage account 204,000, ETFs, cash bonds, some mutual funds, another brokerage 86 grand. I think out of the 204,000 in brokerage, we have about $100,000 in cash for emergencies. Also, inherited IRA. I was like, well, at first I'm reading this, Mark, and I'm like, this is not good. But here we have an inherited IRA, just about $600,000, a brokerage account for $740,000, an HSA with $78,000, a little cash, some I bonds, and a small amount in a 401k. They have then they've got some other accounts which amount to another, let's call it about $700,000 in retirement, another $100,000 in some stock, and they manage their own accounts. They're conservative. They spend about $5,500 a month. My idea is to have the property now to enjoy it a bit, get away from the hectic work schedule. and I'm concerned he will never be able to enjoy all that he has saved. Okay, we've got some life insurance. Kids are grown. My husband says that I need to get a full-time job if I want to buy a second home in the near future, and I don't think that's necessary. I wouldn't spend more than $450,000 for the property, but we do live in a high cost of living state. Okay, what they would do is this. I think this is how they would do it. They would take the money in their brokerage. They'd buy the, they'd sell some stuff out. They'd buy the house. We lose the liquidity, okay? But remember, she wants this, you know, getting a mortgage at this point for them is just silly. Here's my thing. Do you really think you're going to sell your house? Or in other words, what I wasn't sure about is she says, we're going to sell our house, but would they move to this second residence full time? If that were the case, I'd be willing to go along with this. But if they are going to buy this place and then try to quote unquote downsize, I'm not as psyched. What do you think, Mark?
I mean, the only reason this is a possibility is because of all the inherited money. Otherwise, no, I don't see how this works. I mean, it's possible because of those inherited accounts, but yeah. Are they going to be left with one home or are they going to have two homes?
That's the key. If you're going to basically say, we're doing this now, we'll take money out of the brokerage account, because hopefully what you did was you got a brokerage account that you inherited that you've got to step up in cost basis. That's my hope. And you could sell some of that out. You sell most of that out and you've got your money, you buy the house. Now, you have that and you buy that second home. And then when you're ready to move from the first home, that the money basically gets replenished. Then I think it works. Otherwise, I don't know.
It's clear they're not on the same page. She wants it, he doesn't.
To some extent, I would say that you have other issues and we'd love to talk to you guys together. How about that? This is John, whose subject is, where do I go next? Okay. I'm not as well off as most folks I hear about, but what's next for me and my family? I lose sleep about being able to afford where I live, which is in California. My tax bracket is 35%. Money quickly comes in and goes out, even though we have a thoughtful budget. My wife always tells me we're way ahead and fine. All right, let's see what we got. All my savings and work bonuses have gone to paying down my home and refinancing. What? Well, here you got a big problem. Mark, they have a rate of 1.75%. Why are we paying this off? Is it a balloon? Maybe it's a balloon. Is it a balloon that gets paid off in 11 years? It has 11 years to pay off. I wouldn't pay a dime towards that. The house is worth $1.4 million. No wonder this guy's making himself crazy. He's 42 years old. They have one kid. He's got a job in tech. Wife is stay-at-home mom. Two working years short of qualifying for Social Security. Salary is $335,000, gets a $65,000 bonus. So $400,000. Money in an old rollover, $5,000, $20,000 in a 401k, $300,000 in employee stock, $2,000 in college savings, high spending on trips. Any insight? Okay, you ready for your insight? Stop paying down your mortgage. Stop it. Just stop. And I don't know what is going on, like how much you're paying down. I need that number. But I want to tell you something, John. You're probably in much better shape without paying that down. Paying off that house does nothing for you. Zero. Like, right?
Yeah. I mean, he makes a good living. He's got to get cranking on the retirement savings.
Yeah. What you need to be doing is socking away tons of money in retirement. Forget about college savings. And I don't really, you spend $30,000 a year on trips. I mean, that's fine with me, but you got to save money. This is Billy. Okay. Who, by the way, watches us on the compound, which I like. I'm retired, not married, not yet drawing Social Security. I have a Roth IRA that, given my net worth and passive income, is planned to be passed on to my heirs. That's good. I live in another country with a high taxation rate. Oh my God, marginal rate over 50%. Stop complaining us, right? I plan to move back to the U.S. this year. I'm going to buy a house. Okay, here is the question. Is it financially better to buy a house by using a Roth, thereby not incurring a very painful tax event, nor mortgage interest or fees, or take a mortgage for 6 months to a year, then next year when I'm only subject to U.S. taxes, sell from my brokerage account to pay off the mortgage? I can also use the 60-day rollover rules for an IRA and pay off the mortgage from the Roth account in November. then restore the value to the Roth in January from my brokerage account as a rollover. Might be too many hoops to save 2 months of mortgage interest. Okay. On one hand, it seems odd to pay 7% for mortgage interest, even for just a year, which is including fees, et cetera. And he said the issue is, this is an interesting question. It's really, you would only do that. You'd pay that money, okay, just to keep, to preserve the Roth that essentially this guy's never going to use. He's just planning to use it to pass on to his heirs. On the other hand, I realize there's a break-even point where the tax-free Roth gains will start to outpace my expenses for having a mortgage for 6 to 12 months plus the $5,000 in fees. So the net is, I have wound myself around the axle. The Roth was so hard to get and also to accumulate, and I hate to give it up. But on the other hand, it is there to be used when needed. In case it matters, if I were to use the brokerage account to pay off the mortgage next year, it would generate about $250,000 of capital gains in 2025. This is what I would do. I think I would do it for the 1 year. And I don't even, and not even the 1 year, but like maybe what I would also do is just this. Let's say you got the mortgage for a year for the heck of it, okay? And you've got your Roth. And then essentially you wait until that year is up because we don't want that high taxation rate. Is there any pre-tax money anywhere in this scenario? I don't think there's any pre-tax money. So maybe what I would do is that, I don't know how much money you're really going to have tax return-wise in that second year, but perhaps what we might do is divvy it up for a year or two. And, you know, wouldn't it be kind of nifty if this guy could essentially take some of the money and pay 15% long-term capital gains on it 1 year and a little bit more the following year and then use that and be done? I think I would do that. We'll know more about the tax situation, but I don't want to generate $250,000 in capital gains in 1 year. I might dribble that out a little bit and just make it 2 calendar years. And that way you'll carry the mortgage for an extra few months, but I think you'll be okay.
I think he's got a lot of money because the way he says, you know, given my net worth and my passive income.
Yeah.
So I get the sense that he's okay.
These are the rich people problems. This is from Kelly, who was recently hired as a nanny. I'm saving 25% of my pay for taxes, but I was wondering what could I write off? I drive to their house 25 miles one way, use my cell phone. Is there anything else I need to keep track of or receipt since I just started? I like to be organized and prepared when it comes to tax time next year. We'll get that. Okay, so you're self-employed, which means you can absolutely deduct expenses associated with your business. So whatever it is that you are using, like the drive to their house, the cell phone for their correspondence, anything else that you're paying for that is directly associated with the job, you can write off. Now, of course, you're a nanny, so it's not like you're going to write off part of your house. Right. If you were like a graphic designer and you're doing freelance work, there is a possibility for doing that. But you're doing great. All right. This is from Hillary. To Roth or not to Roth? That is the question. Hillary writes, I love your podcast. I listen on YouTube. Definitely not a high earner like most of your listeners. By the way, it's not most of our listeners. We have a ton of different kinds of listeners. OK. Hillary goes on to say, I do my best. I'd appreciate your advice. I'm wondering if it's worth changing my contributions to put more into a Roth and if I should put it into my work Roth or Vanguard. I'm 52 next month. I've got $70,000 in a Vanguard Roth IRA, $310,000 in a 403B. I actually am able to put money towards a Roth within the 403B. I make $68,000. I was putting in $8,400 a year, $550 to the 403B, $150 to the Vanguard Roth. I just bumped it up to $9,000 a year. I'm doing three. Okay. So I'm aggressive with my portfolio. I'm single. I've got a 12-year-old in private school on a scholarship. I pay about $5,500 a year. I got $6,000 in emergency reserve fund, high yield savings account. I was doing mostly pre-tax to keep my income lower to qualify for scholarships. Not sure it's going to make a big deal now. Will be a factor in college when the time comes. I'm going all Roth all the time, Mark. How about you?
I'm going all Roth, and I'm probably leaning using Vanguard over the 403B. I'm guessing there's better options.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think I would max out my Vanguard with the Vanguard Roth, which means you could put $8,000 in there because she's over 50, right, gang? So it's $7,000 plus the $1,000 catch up. So you can put in $8,000. I want a little more in your emergency reserve fund, by the way. And let's see where she lands from there. This is a funny. Here's the subject. Change your work, change your wealth, change your name, and move to another town. Hello to Jill and to the ever dependable Mark. I found your show a few months ago, and I've become an avid listener. I've also enthusiastically shared it with friends and family. My siblings and I will occasionally repeat back your signature sign off, but just to make each other laugh, we tweak it. For example, we got good laughs out of change your work, change your wealth, change your name, and move to another town. So here's an unusual request. If you happen to be feeling playful this April Fool's Day, please consider modifying your delightful Hallmark sign off to a surprise your listeners and prank my siblings. It would lift someone up. Anyway, thank you for all that you both do. My wife and I plan to write back with a detailed question about whether we're on track to buy a house despite high rents and ghastly daycare costs. All in good fun. B&B. Mark, let's give it to him now. It's a week later. So
the thought
ready?
That counts.
Here's the thought that counts. Hey, gang, that's it for the show, and thank you so much. And we are always delighted to really take every single one of your suggestions to heart. So let's get right to the end of the show. You can subscribe on the Odyssey app, wherever you find your favorite podcast. And of course, please try to do something nice for someone else today. And as Brady and his wife like to say, change your work, change your wealth, change your name, and move to another town. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.